It's the Red Dirt Paranormal Podcast with your hosts, Red Dirt Paranormal.
Oh my God!
Jax.
Kesha, I think she boned something that goes hump in the night.
And 3D.
The whole house would be like a Rube Goldberg machine of ass kicking.
Featuring a special guest, David Omen of the Omen House.
Wait, Astro and Scooby-Doo sound awfully alike.
Fire up your K2s and let's do this.
It's like I'm just nice to them.
I just respect them. I mean, I get pissed off at the spirits when there's justifiable cause. I got an electric bill like 7, maybe 8 years ago, and it was 3 times the normal amount. And I wasn't. I'm no fat cat cash cow character. I'm not. So I was like, "What the son of a, oh no 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 no." And I stormed down the damn stairwell, down the staircase to the second floor, walked out down the hall to the earth and to the cinder block wall area. And I basically called them out. I said, "Excuse me, attention, attention, all those non-living beings residing in my home. I have in my right hand an electric bill
that you're not paying
the usual amount. I am fuming at you." I said, "Fucking outrageous." I said, "Why is it that you think you can get away with this?" I said, "I'm not made of money. I'm not a cash tree. I'm no money tree. I'm no cash cow. Come on." I said, "If this is going to happen, this is going to stop right now." I said, "Never again am I going to see a gas electric bill this outrageously overpriced." And I said, "Look, if you don't like it, then you can leave." I said, "But last I saw, it took 3.5 years plus of my mom and my dad and me building this house before you had nothing than that goddamn hillside next door, which for all I care, you can go occupy that. But I give you 4,200 square feet of livable space to hang in, and I have no bones with that. Don't you dare insult me and slap me in the face by using my electricity as this." And I basically said, "If we can't figure this out," I said in the famous words of Rodney King, "can't we all just get along together?" And I said, "If we can't make amends from this point on, I will make it my duty to find the world's greatest psychics, mediums, and paranormal investigators and get their asses in here and have you guys exercised out to somewhere other than here. But I'm not going to stand for this, and I will not put up with this and tolerate this ever and ever again."
How many investigation requests do you get from teens across the country wanting to come in there?
I've gotten a lot. The thing is that everybody wants to come here for free. And I'm like, "You want to spend 12 hours in my house?" I said, I live here. I'm not going to go stay in a hotel and let you run through my house. I said, "I'm not a commercial enterprise. I'm not Disneyland." I said, "Come on." I said, "You can't just do that." And I said, "Look, if you want to, we'll make some arrangements." "Oh, well, we don't." I was like, then find a haunted house where you're at. I said, the joke is, as I said, that you guys, every place that I've ever walked into, for the most part, is haunted. Whether or not there's a notoriety to it and an infamy or a famousness towards it or to it is not what I'm saying. I'm saying that every place is haunted because any place where people have lived and died and played and had fun and whatever, worked, you know, gone to school, those places are familiar to those people that are no longer with us. So they're going to visit those places.
Right.
And mostly people, what Barry told me, which I think is very true, is that cemeteries are not really haunted by those that are buried there. If anything, they're a repository for individuals whose remains are interred there. But you don't hang with your body. When you die, your body goes to one location, your spirit separates from the body. What I think it is that there are mourners that when they were alive, spent countless hours going and visiting the grave of someone they loved.
It's what they're familiar with.
Yeah, exactly. And that those are the spirits that you see at the cemeteries, not necessarily the individuals that are interred there, because unless you spent a lot of time at the cemetery or you're a narcissist to the point where you wanted to sit there and watch the rotting body decompose in the ground, then maybe you are there. But for the most part, most people don't want to sit there and watch their corpse rotting into, to you know, a disintegration state of preservation. So what I thought is, well, there might be people that, you know, visited cemeteries. As you know, there are a lot of people that go to cemeteries to visit those loved ones, and they can't let go. Those are the ones that go visiting the cemeteries still as spirits.
So with your the surrounding neighbors and everything, I know obviously, well, I'm assuming that you talk to your neighbors around there. I don't know what has anybody come up to you ever and said, you know, hey, we live around the corner, you know, we've got this stuff going on. We've heard you had stuff going on, you know, are the same. So what I'm asking is, are you familiar with the people that live around you having any type of activity as well, or do you really know?
For the most part, the neighbors directly to my in the neighborhood towards the gate. Two of them were Middle Eastern and one moved out. The house next door to me, directly next to me, is actually now Airbnb, funny enough. Because he moved out and he decided to turn into an Airbnb. And then the people next to him, I do not speak to. The people next to them, I don't speak to very much. And then the guy at the end of the street, I talk to barely, who lives in where the Tate House stood. So, but as I mentioned earlier, that woman and her husband who I spoke about with the house and the remodeling was literally in the neighborhood, not on this private drive, but within about a half mile of here.
Right.
So, but it's like I said, as Barry said, there's the geomagnetic anomaly that's in this area, that's the pre-volcanic condition that irradiates the energy. So he said about a mile extending from this house in this area, in all different directions, the area's got activity. So whether or not people are conversing openly about their paranormal activity, and whether or not they acknowledge it as paranormal activity and not dismissing it as house settling or raccoons or whatever, you know, it's hard to say what all is going on. I just know of one person there. My godfather, who lived up the street from me, his house was also haunted. And he was a good mile up the street from me. I mean, up Benedict Canyon. And I think there's a predominance of activity here in this area in Benedict Canyon because of the history of the Native Americans and the extremely elevated electromagnetic anomaly that's here in the area. Right. So I think it's a lot to do with that. And the reason my house, it's because of three things. The location on the house being sitting on this geomagnetic anomaly, the way the structural engineer inadvertently built or constructed the house with a lot of the steel I-beams in it, and the third thing is myself. It's a convergence of all those things. If you didn't have all those things, you wouldn't be able to have the alignment of the stars or the alignment of the scenarios, where it's almost like, and I hate to say this, like in 13 Ghosts, where the house was designed, where as you watch the big clock mechanism turning, and it locks in the place, and everything click, 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 and it's all fitting into perfect order, kind of sort of here.
Yeah, that movie actually kind of made sense to an extent as far as the way all that happened. That's really interesting. You know, we've got houses right here around where we are. My neighbor has never, like, this house here is just, it's nonstop. My neighbor, not a thing. The neighbor other side of him, not a thing. Around the corner and down the street, just like here. You know, it's pretty fascinating. I think, you know, their ability to think is still there. They still know what's going on. They still know what they're doing. And I think it's one of those things where if they're comfortable, they go there. If they're someplace and it's, you know, I think if a lot of them, if the people that live there are really freaking out about it, they may still have the sense to go, well, I don't want to do this to them. So they'll go someplace where it doesn't freak them out.
Yeah, I'd have to say that I think that there's discernment with the spirits. They know who's, you know, it's almost like a resonation. They resonate a certain energy that they look for something that's similar to that, that's simpatico, so to speak.
Right.
So that's what I kind of feel and believe in my mind. The same thing with why they're here, as Lisa Williams said. They're here because I kind of am open and I'm like, yeah, it's okay. They can hang. I'm not going to have a problem with it.
I love that your spirits actually tend to have comedic timing.
Oh, yeah, with the mic drop moments. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, they've here's a great one. They've done three times in this house, to myself included, and two other individuals have had the experience over the past 6-7 years now. That on the top floor 7 years ago, my friend was going to the bathroom. He ran in, unbuttoned his belt, and took his belt down and proceeded to go to the bathroom. And he's standing there, and all of a sudden he says he hears the sound of water running from behind him. And he goes, what the? He turns and he starts to look over his shoulder, and the faucets, both hot and cold, are fully turned on. The water's shooting up. He says, I put myself together and I ran out of that room as fast as I could. Another friend in that same bathroom, well, first of all, in the same bathroom, a friend of mine, eight years ago, was in there. The little trash can next to the toilet, as he's going to the bathroom, starts to dance around. And he starts yelling and screaming. And there's a full party going on outside, like 10 feet down, maybe 8 feet from where he is, and through the corridor going into the living room. And we didn't hear a word. 2 years ago, I was in my bathroom at 12:30 at night, and I was cleaning my tennis shoes off. And I just turned off the water, and I was sitting on the edge of the tub, and I'm cleaning it off the dirt. And all of a sudden, I hear the sound of water going, shh. And I looked up, and I see on the faucet, both hot and cold are full turned on. And I'm going, oh, that is so cool. I know you did that for Adam several years ago. I said, upstairs on the first floor. I said, but me? I said, I've always wanted you to do it. I said, I can't thank you enough. It's like, oh, I so appreciate it. That is such a cool trick. I said, I'm so incredibly impressed and so appreciative of it. I said, but on a serious note, you know, California's going through a hellacious drought right now, so I really have to advise that we cannot do the water gags anymore. Nothing with water. Don't turn the water on. Don't make the toilet run extra long. Please just, I appreciate it. Don't get me wrong. I just can't afford to use the water.
If you want to do that, go to Tom Selleck's house.
Yeah, he'll enjoy that.
Wasn't he the one that got in trouble for that?
That's him. And then literally 8-10 months ago, during the last investigation here on August 6th, my friend's wife's on the third level in the guest bedroom, in the bathroom, and she's sitting there going to the bathroom, and she says all of a sudden, she's like looking at something, and all of a sudden she goes, she sees the hot and the cold faucets both turn on at the same time. And she ran out of the house and didn't come back, and she hasn't come back since. And
did she at least pull her pants up?
I don't know if she was sitting on the toilet or she was already done in the bathroom and it happened. You know, that she was looking around at some part of the tub or something, but she goes, because it was just turned on, she just freaked out. She just, so three different rooms, three different people, and three different floors of the house. Same.
I believe I would have stayed.
See some woman walking out of a house holding a little Shih Tzu dog going, oh no, with her pants and panties around her ankles, just shuffling out the door. Somebody call 911.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I would probably stay and come down and say, okay, your ghosts are doing a water trick. I'm not sure what's going on exactly, but
I may ask for some more toilet paper, but
yeah. Exactly. It's like, well, if you were constipated before, congratulations, you're not anymore.
You've been evacuated.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Exactly.
Thank you so very much. It was awesome. We really, really appreciate it.
Where can we follow you on social media before we let you go? Go ahead and let you plug your channel.
Let's see. On Twitter, I'm at TheOmen1. I think it's at TheOmen1. Let me double check. Crap, I can't even keep my mind on this stuff. Let me see. Let's see. Twitter. Yes, we are at the_Omen1. And then I think it's Omen House on, what's that stupid thing called? Instagram, that's right. I think I'm Omen House on Instagram. let's see what Instagram says. Since I don't play much on it. I mean, I'm on, but I'm not, you know, paying much attention to it.
I think that's one thing we don't have is an Instagram account.
You don't? Oh.
No. I think my oldest son, Tristan, he would probably love to have an Instagram. I may give that to him and let him run it. I don't even know what it is.
It's all pictures, apparently.
Yeah, it's all picture-based. I have a personal Instagram, but I don't have any of our shows or anything on Instagram. At least not yet. I'm trying to diversify the media management. Yeah, I don't want to have to manage like all of them full time. That's a full time job all on its own.
It's a headache. It's time consuming. It's like, how do you guys manage to sit there? Oh, we don't do that all the time. We have a robot that does that for us. I'm going, a bot? Because oh yeah, we send out our tweets already pre-programmed. I'm like going, oh my god. Oh, I'm sitting there doing it all manually because I say, I want his comment on this.
Yeah, how do I get in that business?
Yeah, right. Really. It's the Omen House on Instagram. And then, of course, theomenhouse.com, which is OMAN. .com is the website. When I do the, you know, you can contact me for paranormal investigations if you want to rent the house out for a party, for a movie shoot, or whatever. We do that. And then, like I said, this Saturday we have the one and only ghost hunt of the summer here at the house. So
okay, that's the thing I was going to ask, if that was the June 24th event.
That's the June 24th. It's a six-hour event. I put out a full spread of food with meatballs, three different types of salsas, chocolate chip cookies, vegetable platters, hummus and pita bread, and some other things to nosh on and eat. Because, like I said, you know, there's
a lot of snack food.
Yeah, yeah, because, you know, you've got to eat. Like I said, you're in, of course, we give you orange juice and soda and cranberry juice. But the idea is I've gone to some you know, investigations with the Constantinos up in, not Las Cruces. I forgot the name of this little town up north of here. And it was like, where are the snacks? Oh, we have a snack table. Here's a $5 Coca-Cola that's semi-warm, and you can have some crackers and cheese for $2. I'm like, you mean that stuff that I had with a kid with a little plastic, you know, fork or knife in there, and you spread the crap cheese on top of the little salt?
Hey, that stuff is good, man.
I don't want to be paying $150 for a ghost investigation and go, what's to eat? You're serious? You didn't bring him up? It's like, hell no, I didn't bring him up. He goes, well, we have a snack table. You want a bag of 6 ounces of some corn chips? Yum, yum.
There's some horrible chili in the cabinet. Just crack it open and eat it up.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you're coming to my house. I throw parties. When I have parties, I don't make my friends. Bring your own food. Maybe bring your own booze, but, you know, that's different. But, you know, BYOB, don't bring your own chips and salsa, please. You
some Vienna sausages.
Exactly. And as a matter of fact, we did do kielbasa a couple times. I had the kielbasa cubes. So people were going, this. And they were like, oh, my God. It's like, we're for ghost time. You know what? For your party, it's like, you're going to be here for 6 hours. I don't want you hitting up my goddamn refrigerator and pushing it in the freezer and having, oh, my gosh, I'm frozen Pop-Tarts. Come on.
Break out the sirloins, man.
Yeah.
You know, exactly. There goes my sirloins. I'm going, gee, you know, that's dinner. That was last night's, tomorrow night's dinner, not your dinner tonight.
Right.
The corned beef. I got this crap from the corned beef. I said, what do you think? This is a smorgasbord? Come on.
I had Frito pies last night. Y'all can have the rest of them.
All right.
Yeah, you've got burritos today.
Well, since I've been on your guys' show, you know, you guys are more than welcome to hop train and come on out here and visit, you know, please. You know, it's one thing when I have to bring out the whole team and bring out Lilia, Steve, and Phil to set up and do the video projector in the garage and pull down the screen and have somebody technically there to show people what's going on in the different cameras. That I don't charge for, but I don't do that to the public, just for certain friends of mine, like Kevin and his friends. For you guys, yeah, come on. You'd have a ball.
All right, and we'll get in touch with you, and we'll set something up. We definitely want to come out there.
Matter of fact,
my son already told me we're going, Dad.
Well, you guys have a hell of a time, I can tell you that. It's always fun and crazy when people come, want to go looking for ghosts. It's like, come looking for ghosts. You don't know what you're going to catch, but come look.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I might I might take you up on that. I don't know. I've always been super interested in like the summer of 1969, the Manson family. I found out somewhat recently that I'm actually distantly related to Abigail Folger.
That might provide some interesting activity, to be honest with you. And I say that because I had a woman who was on one of my friend's Starline tours, private tours, came up here, and it was weird. I just got all this, like, she came in the house with her daughter and her daughter's two friends, and stuff was happening. And I was like going, you know, I said, here's my business card. Just call me if anything comes up. The following morning, she calls me up and she goes, David, this is such and such. I was there with my daughter and her two friends yesterday. I said, oh, yeah, yeah, how are you? She goes, I spoke to my aunt last night, long after I visited your house. And I told her what had occurred. And she said, oh, honey, didn't you know that your mother and Sharon Tate's mother were good friends? Or Sharon Tate's grandmother and your mother were good friends? And that in the late 60s, or the mid-60s, when your family lived in Texas, that your family and Sharon Tate's family used to go out and do picnics and family functions. And I was like, what? So I said, come over for dinner tonight. We'll have a dinner. So they came over to dinner. And in the middle of the dinner, there was a wine glass in between her daughter and her daughter's friends. It was three-quarters of the way full with red wine. And it slid across the table about a good 10 inches on its own. And I just sat back in my chair at the head of the table and I said, well, now I've seen everything. Mm-hmm. And it was her husband, her daughter, her daughter's friend, two friends, and me. And I remember her husband looked under the table, and it's a glass table. And I said, first of all, it's a glass table, and that's a crystal glass, wine glass. So there's no magnets that I'm dragging across under the table to make that non-ferrous item move across the table. I said, I had nothing to do with that. And they were like, really? Yeah. And the wine was going literally from one side of the lip to the other and up and up. And I was going, wow, 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 wow. That's what was so interesting. Because like I said, she had a direct connection to Sharon Tate through her family. And it was weird. Like I said, when they were there, there was this weird feeling when we're all sitting there talking the first time they were there. And her daughter had this weird kind of a denim-style hat that was an old retro-style 60s hat and early 70s hat that girls used to wear. And it was a throwback to the 1920s. It was almost a play on the old driving cap that these had, the English driving cap, that was short on the back and then it came like this, except it was more ballooned up. And I was like looking at one of the girls who I'm talking to, and I said, what happened to you in the house? And she goes, somebody was tugging at, I said, your hat. And she goes, how did you know? And I said, Sharon then chimed in. She goes, that was me, as I had one of those hats in the 60s. And I so loved it then, and I still love it now. And I'm like, And then I looked at this other girl. I said, you. I said, what happened to you? And she goes, I had this feeling there was a guy. And I said, yeah. And goes, he was leering at me. And I go, leering at you? She goes, yeah, with these heavy, heavy eyes. And then I heard Jay chime in, and Jay said, yeah, that was me. She reminded me of my girlfriend that I had that later on early 70s played a Saturday morning character named Isis. And I said, I remember that damn TV show. And I looked at her and I said, oh my God, you are the spitting image of that actress. And Jay said, yeah, I did. I had my way with her in the late 60s, you know, and I'm thinking, oh my God, that's right. She was an up and coming actress in the mid early 60s when she was first cutting her teeth. And I looked it up and I was like, oh my God, yeah, she was Baba Jay. And I was like, oh, 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 strange as hell. So,
wow.
Just strange, strange stuff. Now, how do I go back to the right?
Click on the, there's a list of names there.
Yeah.
Right. Right, son of a gun. Your current Skype will be put on hold. No. There we go. Back to that. There we are. All right. Yeah, so it was like, wow, wow. I didn't realize it. And that said, the only time I've actually had a literal connection from somebody outside of the house to them And the triangulation was a direct connection to Sharon and the family. So outside of that, it doesn't rarely happen. But that's why I said, if you showed up and you came and, you know, she felt that distant connection. She said, you know, I want to reach out to you. It's like, I'd be happy to. I mean, I've reached out to Sharon's sister, Deborah, through a friend of mine. And the irony is Deborah, of all the family members of the Tate family outside of Sharon, believed in the paranormal. Deborah didn't. And I actually had the Tate...
is she the one that's been very vocal and seen during all the trials and the
yeah, she's the only one left. Doris Tate has died 10 years ago or so. Colonel Paul Tate died about 10 years ago, and Patty, Sharon's only other sister, died a number of years ago as well. And what's interesting is I have Brian Edward Hurst here, who was Doris Tate and Patty Tate's personal psychic and medium. And he was at the house, and he was, you know, interesting. And he says, oh, Deborah doesn't believe in it. She's been ostracized by the family because she doesn't believe in the spirits. And she mocked her mother for believing that. So, you know, it's ironic that she's the only one who's left as the torchbearer for the family.
Wow.
Well, it was definitely fantastic to have you on with us. It looks like Jax is trying to nod off. It's actually almost 11 o'clock her time, I think. So
yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, I've been up since 6 a.m., so.
What? I talk funny, too. If I'd been up since 6 o'clock in the morning.
It's the hair.
It's the hair.
He's like, I've been up since 3.
Yeah. All right.
Izzy wants to come out there, David, but it has nothing to do with anything paranormal.
Well, like I said, if you guys want to make a road trip collectively, the three of you independently, please, you know, by all means. You know, hopefully I'm not going anywhere, and hopefully the spirits aren't either. You know, it's always
been through that
experience. And like I said, what's interesting to me is when you guys don't realize, when you come into the house, as I said earlier, it's like a chemistry set. I get to see how the house reacts and how the spirits react and whatever spirits you have react to the environment, and I get to record it. So to me, it's a two-way street. You guys benefit from the opportunity, and I get to benefit from the opportunity of seeing how things, you know, turn out and what happens.
It's fascinating. It's a vacation for everybody involved.
Pretty much, exactly. And you get to come out to sunny California and see what the hell it's like out in the crazy lands.
Yeah, I spent some time out in San Diego at a little place out there when I was in the military.
I lived in 29 Palms.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of Red Dirt Paranormal Podcast. Visit our Facebook page, Red Dirt Paranormal of Oklahoma, on Twitter at RDP of Oklahoma, and online at RDPofOklahoma.com.